One thing I noticed in some of the literature here that the publisher sent over, that you play chess.
Yeah, I love to play chess. I find that is the most relaxing thing I can do besides tennis, because when you're playing chess or when you're playing tennis, you don't think about what's going on in Washington or anywhere else. And I've been playing chess since I was a kid, so I might give up a lot of things for a chess game.
Do you have a regular partner to use one of these electronic devices?
No, I've played with a few of the biggies, though. Kissinger and Brzezinski.
How'd you do?
I did quite well against Kissinger, and Brzezinski and I about even.
You collect chess sets, too?
Yeah, I collect chess sets. I have, I guess the most interesting one I have, I got in about 1948. I met a woman whose husband was in prison. She was a he was a political prisoner, and he had carved a chess set while he was in prison. And she wanted to sell it. She needed money. And so I have it. It's not a great carving, but the fact that where it was made and by whom it was made seems to have more meaning for me than a very valuable one.
What are the figures? Inmates? Wardens?
No. No, strangely enough, they're all army figures, because I don't think they let them do anything like that. And the bishops are captains in the army. And there's no king and queen. The king and queen are in uniform, too. They're all military. Then I have another one. I guess now it's a collector's item. At that time, I just thought it was a chess set. Man Ray did one. Man Ray, the artist and photographer. And he did one in aluminum. And I understand that they have one at the Museum of Modern Art, which is similar to the one I have.
Do you have all these set up, or do you have them stored?
Yeah, I have them in a glass case. I won't let the kids touch them.
You must have a lot of room. The chess sets are rather expansive.
Well, I don't set them up like chess sets. I set them up like soldiers.
Did you read a book called The Queen's Gambit by Walter Chettis?
Yeah, I've read a lot of chess books that, life is chess. You sacrifice things in order to win, and sometimes the sacrifice works and sometimes it doesn't. It's very fascinating that the Russians, probably that's their national sport, is chess. And it's required at their military academies. And I wish West Point and Annapolis and Air Force Academy would require chess, because chess is war.
It sure is. Some of your columns poke fun at the moral majority. I got a laugh, a few of them.
Yeah, they're easy.
They are. What are secular humanists, anyway? Well, I can never figure that out.
That's the funniest thing of all, is that, the anti-communists did pretty good in the early 50s because they called people commies, reds, pinkos, fellow travelers. I mean, there were things that really had dirty rings to them. Secular humanists just hasn't caught on. People are, you know, you say a guy's a secular humanist, and it seems to have some sort of sexual context to it. It's not dirty enough. It's not snide enough. And I think they blew it when they started calling people that didn't agree with them secular humanists.
It sounds almost academic.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a degree. It sounds like a master's degree in something.
It is easy to poke fun at the moral majority, but is there truly any kind of threat to people, particularly people like us who deal very much within the realm of the First Amendment?
I don't think there's a real threat. I have a feeling that there will always be a threat in this country by somebody that would like to keep the press down. But, I think the moral majority is a name made up probably by the media. We probably invented it for them. I don't know if they invented it. I don't know where it came from.
I recall that in the past, some comic strips like Pogo and Little Abner were expunged from certain newspapers for certain infractions. Has that ever happened to you in any of your columns?
No, not in a long, long, long time. I think the last one that was expunged for political reasons was during the McCarthy heyday, when at that time the publisher in Paris of the Herald Tribune thought I was too rough on McCarthy. I thought it was a good column. I traced the McCarthys back to ancient times in Ireland, found out there was a bad strain. This was Senator Joe McCarthy, not Eugene.
Oh, yes, bad seed. I was amused by your I Love New York column, being a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Does the city really have such a bad image outside of New York?
On certain days, yeah. everything happens in New York. And the thing about New York is everybody's delighted if it's happening to New York. New Yorkers have a certain pride, and the I Love New York campaign, and I'm a New Yorker. I came from Queens, so I can be very objective about it. But when you come to New York from anywhere else in the country, it's a culture shock. People here, they will take noise and accept noise that nobody else could even live with. I've never seen so many people in New York talk to themselves. They walk down the street, well-dressed people, and they're talking to themselves. Now, I assume most of them are tennis players, and they're saying, I should have got that last shot, and why didn't I get my first serve? And I always give them the benefit of the doubt that they're talking about tennis. But it's amazing. Then I've seen people shove other people into the street, and I've literally been on Broadway when a bunch of narc agents pulled out their pistols and started chasing a dealer right around me, and I was in the middle of it, and they're going in circles around me with their guns. And I was talking to a guy that I had seen from the Paris Herald Tribune days, and I said, can you believe this? Can you believe what's happening to us now? There are people with guns all around us.
Do you know what you'd have to pay to see something like that in the movies?
Well, you do see it in the movie all the time, but to be live and in color on Broadway is another thing.
It's three-dimensional. It's better than the cinerama.
And then people in New York, I know a lady who had five locks on her door. Five locks. I'm not exaggerating. And I took her home one night, and I said, let me ask you a question. Why do you live in New York? She says, I wouldn't live anywhere else. But she still has five locks on her door.
How does it feel being an expatriate?
From New York?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of like it where I live in Washington. I just, this place is a little too hard for me. I find New York, everybody is a little too much in a hurry. Nobody's got time to talk to you. Nobody's got time to sit down with you. You can't get too much friendship going in New York if you're a visitor. I see pals on Martha's Vineyard, New Yorkers, and I see them in Washington. And when you see them in New York, you have a feeling that you're taking their time, that they're not, you know, they've got three other things on their mind besides you. And I have a feeling that New Yorkers are always, the ones I know anyway, are always spinning their wheels. And so nobody has time to really just relax.
But you're in Washington now. You're no longer in the center of things.
Oh, no, New York died a long time ago as being the center of things. I think New York stopped being the center of things when you lost five of your seven papers.
But look at all the television and radio we've gained.
I know. Pretty bad, huh?
What do you like to watch? Do you watch TV?
Just sports and news. And I'm not a snob, but I just can't stand the rest of it.
Do you have cable?
No, we don't have cable in Washington. I find that television, if you don't watch television at night, you can add 3 hours onto the onto your life every day. Because it really is a waste of time.
Any administration in Washington is worth the poking fun at. And God knows everybody has done it from Truman on up. But you don't really have anything against poor Mr. Reagan.
Ronald Reagan? No. Anybody that feeds me is my friend. Ronald Reagan feeds me. James Watt used to feed me. Now he's out.
Who are you going to kick around now?
I have nobody to kick around at the moment. We'll find somebody, but we'll never find anybody as good as Watt. He was better than Burt Lance, and he certainly was better than Earl Butts.
A little better, yeah.
Well, you know why he was better? Because he was involved with the environment and the things that we all love, like clean air and forests and woods. Butts was involved with agriculture. And we never knew what the Agriculture Department did anyway. So the fact that Watt misspoke a lot, plus the fact that he was screwing up the environment, made him a perfect target. And I'm going to miss old Jim Watt.
How could Mr. Reagan conceivably reach out after all the talent that we have in this nation and pick someone like James Watt?
I think he agreed with him. I think he agreed with everything Watt was doing. I have a feeling that he was a little upset when he started taking off after everybody. But I don't see philosophically where Reagan and Watt differed on too much.
Mm. Is it true you charge $12,000?
$15 now. $15? Yes, the price has gone up. I'm glad you gave me a chance to mention it.
How much are you charging us?
Oh, I'm doing this for free because I am trying to plug my book, and they got me out now on the circuit plugging my book. And so I'm going to radio station, to TV station, to newspapers, anybody. And I am, I've given my body and my soul for the next 3 weeks to selling my book.
This is a marvelous opportunity for you to leave Washington and go out and look at the real world.
I'm out there all the time looking at the real world, and you don't get a chance to look at the real world when you're plugging a book. You just see one green room after another, and they're all not green.
Well, this used to be gray.
I know, it's green now.
Yeah.
But I mean a green room is where they keep you before you go on the air.
Do you like it? Do you like going out and doing the tours and talking
no,
to people? You don't?
I don't. Do you know many authors that do?
I should have offered you a cup of coffee. Maybe you would
no,
like
no, but do you know many authors that do?
Some do. Some like it very much.
Oh, I know. I know which kinds. The ones that have been locked in their studies for 2 years and 3 years. And this is a real good thing to get out and meet real-life people and see a radio studio or TV. But the ones who don't like it are the people who have been out and seen radio stations and TV stations before. They don't like it.
I talked to one young man who was out with his very first book. And as a matter of fact, I was his very first interview.
Yeah.
And he was so frightened. He was sitting there shaking like this in front of
the mic.
Well,
I want to congratulate you because there are very few people that will put a first book author on the air. Those poor people, I don't know where we're going to get our new writers from because you have to be a personality before anybody will accept you on a show.
But you have to find some news aspect to the story, whether it's fiction or anything else. Sometimes the news aspect is in the writer himself and how he did it.
You do, but most people that book writers and authors, they book them because their personalities. They don't want to explain who they are.
Yeah, I was reading in the New York Times the other day. You're published by Putnam. Harriet Blacker was quoted in the Times as saying that in some markets she can actually put some authors up for bid for the various talk shows.
I know, and when you go in now with a book, they look at you and they want to see how you'd look on Phil Donahue, not what's in the book. And I would hate to think if William Faulkner had to flog books the way, because probably nobody would put him on the air.
Mm.
Huh?
I would love that.
They'd put Hemingway on.
Yeah.
And Steinbeck, maybe, but Steinbeck was hard to understand. But certainly they would never put Faulkner on.
No, I think many of the talk show people are looking for personalities.
Yeah.
For example, Capote is funny, and Vidal is witty.
Yeah,
And
I can get away with it because I can, laugh it up. But I really do feel sorry for people who have written good books and are not verbal.
But sometimes it's hard. That's true. But, you know, it's worth it. It's difficult with all of the material that comes out to try to digest it, and especially when you're doing fiction and literature, and sometimes massive biographies. It takes a long time to read it, and many people just don't have time. It's difficult for me, and I may have to make a special effort. I also have to cut corners and sometimes do some of the books that I don't like as well. What do you like to read when you're off duty, or are you ever off duty?
I like to read thrillers. I like to read John le Carré. I like to read history books. I like to read things that have nothing to do with my work. I don't want to know what happened during Vietnam. I know what happened during Vietnam. I'm not ready for Vietnam. But I will sit down and be very entranced with The Winds of War, which is my war, at World War II. So that's, I guess, The Winter War is about my style as a book. I love to read something like that.
Calvin Trillin was in a while ago. He had suggested on my little report that the national dish on Thanksgiving be changed from turkey to spaghetti carbonara. So I did a report on the air quoting Calvin. I ran a piece of sound, and we did this in a rather deadpan delivery, not unlike the way you approach your column. And I had several phone calls and a couple of irate letters saying, how dare you make the suggestion that we change our national dish from turkey to spaghetti carbonara on Thanksgiving. Has this ever happened to you? Some people completely misinterpret your comments?
Yeah, a lot. And I once said J. Edgar Hoover didn't exist. He'd been made up by the FBI. I mean, by the Reader's Digest. And I got hundreds of telephone calls. Recently, I suggested that Social Security, since they were out of money, they have a lottery, and the one person who wins gets $175 for the rest of his life. So I heard from a lot of senior citizens who believed that's what they were going to do, and they were going to lose their Social Security. Yeah, it happens a lot, and you just go along with it. You
do you get a lot of mail?
Yeah.
Do you try to answer it and try to read it all, or...?
I read it all. I have a secretary who answers the ones that I don't want to answer, which are mostly requests for term papers by kids who want me to write their term paper and they want it by Thursday. I also hear from would-be humorists who want me to get them published. And I certainly don't do anything about them. I don't want any competition.
Just to kind of wrap things up, could you give me an outline about how you work and how you approach your column so I have a general idea about your working habits?
All right.
Those that you can reveal?
I'll give you an example of what happened this morning. I'm on the road now, and I still have to write. Woke up this morning, knew I had to do something on James Watt. Last night I saw in the news James Watt on his horse going into the sunset. And so I decided to do the last conversation Watt had with his horse as he looked over the beautiful mountains of California and said I could have strip-mined this whole place. And we could have oil derricks. We could have oil derricks over there. And I could have got the Indians off the property there. And it's kind of a soliloquy in which Watt is saying goodbye to his America and the America he loved and the one he got fired for.
Do you write any place, or do you try to do it in a specific room, like your office, for example?
No, in this case I did my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to do it at home. I have a word processor, and I try to leave columns behind. I got caught because Watt resigned, surprised me. I didn't think he'd go that fast.
And I thought he would wait till at least Wednesday.
Oh, that would have helped me because my column was scheduled for Tuesday. But he double-crossed me.
Do you have a portable word processor?
I have every kind of word processor you think of. I've got four and five.
The Watt column, did you... use that in
no,
the hotel room?
No, I got a typewriter from the hotel.
You know, Michael Crichton was in last week.
He's good. That's a good book.
Yeah, and he has a little word processor like this, and he's writing constantly.
Yeah.
He'll be in a taxi cab
or
an airplane, and he'll take the word processor out, and he will, and it's tiny. It's a little bigger than a book.
Radio Shack?
It's a Radio Shack processor.
That's the one I have.
And, and he... I couldn't believe that he could store so much information in such a little thing, but he does all of his writing there.
Yeah. No, the book he wrote on computers I'd recommend very much because I'm a computer buff, and I read that book, and I thought it was the clearest book that I had read on computers.
So are you? What's next? Are you waiting until you compile a hefty number of columns before you come out with a
I would guess in another 2 years, if Reagan's running, we'll have While Reagan Slept, two. If he isn't going to be the president, we'll have while somebody else slept, woke up, or did whatever they did. But I compile these every 2 years in columns, and it's interesting to go back over the old ones now, and they don't read so much funny as they read, like, history. A lot of things that I made fun of are not funny anymore because they happened.
All right, Buckwald, thank you very much for coming in, and hope it wasn't too much of an ordeal. I know you.
It was a lovely experience. I You know, they have these... The network is over there on 57th Street.
TV
takes you all day to get there.
Yeah.
Nobody knows this. I think people should know this who are listening, but we are in this fancy building on the Avenue of the Americas, built by Bill Paley.
He's putting another one on
and
right next to it.
It's unbelievable that radio would be in such splendor.
FM is upstairs.
God.
FM upstairs.
I think this is where the money is at CBS.
But there's an advantage to working in the broadcast center, because there the shoeshine shop is open 24 hours a day.
Yeah, but what about parking?
Well, you can always park on the roof of a garage over the Hudson River.
I mean, we better quit.
I want to ask you some questions about the book and your writing, but I'd like to find out a little bit about...